Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I'll never forget the time that I went to Yellowstone National Park. My family and I were driving into the park from the north side. And for years, I had imagined trees as far as the eye could see. This was Yellowstone, after all. I mean, with what we see in the movies and what we read in books, I had a certain preconceived idea of what it would be like. I thought that I had it figured out. But when we entered the park, for the first hour, all I saw was devastation. Acre after acre after acre of burned trees. Ash covered the countryside, and stumps where once the landscape was littered with a beautiful forest. I was 16 at the time, and I was not impressed by what I saw. You see, a huge fire had hit the north side of the park. And my family and I certainly didn't know this, because had we known, we would have entered some other way. But after 10 minutes, and then 30, and then an hour of driving through all of this, we got the picture. The north side was brought down completely. These tall and mighty trees had been consumed to mere stumps and ash. But eventually that hour passed, and the dark gloominess of that first hour faded away. There was hope. The scenery slowly changed, and before we knew it, we were completely surrounded by a beautiful forest. And it was better than I had expected, more wonderful than I could have possibly imagined. And it was like entering into another world from where we had just come from. I imagine those who experienced our passage from Isaiah this morning felt a similar thing. When surrounded by doom and oppression from the Assyrians, I bet they pondered how long their plight would last. Would there be a glorious hope on the other side? Can the Lord raise up something altogether perfect out of the ash heap of King David's family tree? The answer is unequivocally yes. Can God do astonishing things, even when it appears like everything is toast? Even when everything looks like a lost cause? Watch him roll up his sleeves. Watch him roll up his sleeves, bringing something new out of the old rotting stump. Therefore, on this Advent morning, let us see the shoot and the root of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he is the tree that's planted that makes all things new. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, found on page 411. The prophet Isaiah gives us some striking imagery here. The Lord of the angel armies is going tree chopping. At the end of chapter 10, he's going to chop down the oppressor of God's people, the nation of Assyria. This is one of the reasons why I love the imagery in the prophets. I mean, when was the last time that you thought of God as a lumberjack? Right? It doesn't come to mind usually. But the Lord is going to bring low the proud and the mighty. He's going to lay bare the forest trees with an axe. And this obviously would be most encouraging for an oppressed people who would endure the brutality of the Assyrians. But then rather suddenly and abruptly, the prophet gives us yet another image, that of a stump. And this stump represents the royal line of King David. The monarchy has become an utter mess. It's a joke. There had been a couple of good kings, but most of them were outright despicable. King David's family tree didn't look like it was going to make it. It didn't seem like it was going to last. But God had made a promise to David, all the way back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that David's line would continue forever, and the Lord always keeps his promises. So the people are looking at David's family tree, and it's not even a tree. It's not even a tree. It's a stump. And the stump doesn't look like it's going to make it. And then we see it. This green shoot coming up from the stump. New life. New hope. This new shoot is a branch that will bear much fruit from the old root. Who is this king that will rise? It's the Messiah, the Lord's chosen and anointed one. He is the heir to King David's throne, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But let us further see the nature of our Lord and King, the shoot and the root of Jesse, this branch that bears much fruit from the old stump. We see that Jesus, the Messiah, is perfect in mind. He is also perfect in action, and he's perfect in heart. So let's break this down a bit. You see, for the prophet Isaiah, the Messiah is the king who is endowed with the Spirit. The Spirit of God will rest upon this shoot from David's family. Well, how indeed does the Spirit rest upon our Lord? We know that the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary's womb, so that she becomes pregnant and she bears Jesus. And we know that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon Jesus at his baptism in the River Jordan. So the Spirit rests upon Jesus, the Messiah. What does Jesus say when he's preaching to his hometown? The Spirit of the living God is upon me. Quoting Isaiah, the prophet. And look at the impact of the Spirit-endowed Messiah, the Spirit-endowed King has had upon our world. Someone described him this way. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30, and then became an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. Another person observed, Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, Aristotle for 40, but Jesus only 3.5 years. Yet his influence infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined years of the teachings from all the world's greatest philosophers. Jesus painted no pictures, yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Da Vinci obtained their inspiration from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, and scores of the greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music. Still, Haydn and Handel and Beethoven and Bach and Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody and the music they composed. Composed in his praise. 2,000 years have come and gone, and today he is still the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and the kings that ever reigned have not affected the life on this earth as much as that one solitary life. So we see the character of Jesus in our passage, revealing that he is the Spirit-endowed Messiah. He's perfect in mind, he's perfect in action, and he's perfect in heart. And he sees beyond the scope of the physical senses. He is just, he is attentive, and he is powerful. Oh, so powerful. Verse 4 says, "The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked." He is righteousness. He is truth. And he is ready for action. Who's with me here? You see, God is planting a tree. A tree unlike any other. It comes out of a stump as a tender shoot, out of a dynasty that appeared it was on its last leg. But when it is grown, it will draw the entire world to God. This tree was planted in Bethlehem, and it grew tall and strong, taller and stronger than any other tree. And in its shade, the nations will gather. And this tree that God plants will make all things new. But what exactly does this look like when God makes all things new? Well, in the imagery of Isaiah here, we get a glimpse. It is the reversal of the fall of humanity. This tree that God brings forth is life itself. And it gives life to the world. New life is possible, not just the salvation of our souls, but for the transformation of everything. Everything. Behold, he makes all things new. All things. It's simply amazing, astonishing, astounding. There will be a renewed created order. So let's zoom in here because there are some real gems for us in this text. First, we see a harmony between prey and predators. The old hostilities are put away and done with. If any of you are familiar with the movie Zootopia, this theme is prominent within the film. Prey and predators living in harmony within one city, but despite all the development within the animal world, there is still a struggle with overcoming prejudices and conflicts and instincts. Isaiah paints a world really reconciled. Really reconciled. There is true and there is lasting peace here. Verse 6 states, "In that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child shall lead them." And so even a toddler in this world can exercise their dominion over these creatures, pointing back to our mandate and our commission all the way back in Genesis 1. There is peace. There is harmony because of the tree that God planted, and that tree is Jesus. Secondly, there's a very change in the nature of God's creatures. Notice that cows and lions are eating the same stuff. Even the young of these creatures exhibit that a very big change, a very big transformation has happened. For the cub and the calf will lie down together. This is huge. Behold, Jesus makes all things new. And finally, we see that the curse of Genesis 3 is removed. The hostility, the hatred between the serpent and the seed of Eve pronounced in Genesis 3 is done and over with. For verse 8 comments, "The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm." All this is to say that Jesus has changed everything. This new branch that has come forth from the stump has borne fruit that has given life to the entire world, that has transformed the entire world. He really does make all things new. And when we get to verse 10, we see something so remarkable and so beautiful. Up to this point in the chapter, the prophet has given us the imagery that the Messiah is the shoot that comes forth from the stump of King David's family tree. But here in verse 10, the imagery is that the Messiah is not only the shoot and the new branch that comes forth, but also the root below the stump. Meaning that Jesus is divine and human. He's the divine human king. He's the Messiah. He can make all things new because he always existed as God the Son from eternity. And he took on human flesh from the line of David and was planted in this world to give life to the world. Where was he born? In the city of David. Bethlehem. And Jesus, this new shoot and branch, this root that always existed, spreads his arms of love upon the hard wood of the cross. It's another tree, isn't it? A rugged tree. And there upon that tree, for you and for me and for the nations, he poured out his lifeblood, giving his life for the life of the world. And in the shade of his arms upon that cross, upon that tree, all shall be saved who believe in him, and they shall come to him, and they shall have everlasting and eternal life. For his banner of salvation to all the world is one of love. There is no greater thing. He really, truly does make all things new. But this implies that something old must be put to death, and something new emerges and comes forth. This morning, each of us has come here with strongholds in our hearts and in our minds. There are forces within us that we must let the Lord chop down, tear down, proud and haughty forest. For there are many things within us which do not bear fruit. What did we hear in our gospel passage this morning? Every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Yield to the Lord. Let him cut down in you anything and everything that is not of him and his eternal kingdom. For you and I were made to be fruitful. This is God's will for us in Jesus Christ. And we only bear fruit if we abide in the fruitful one, the shoot and the root of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let the Lord do his cutting in your life. Let him prune you. It'll be painful, but it'll end up being your ultimate good. Likewise, there are dead places within us that need new life. What are we to do? We are to cry out to Jesus. Cry out to him for him to come in his perfect power, for him to come in his perfect presence and bring forth new life out of the stumps in our lives. We all have stumps in our lives. Believe me, we all have them. Do you think that the Lord can bring restoration? Do you believe that he can bring hope? Do you? Do you believe he can usher in the new out of what seems dead? Is anything too hard for him? No, it's not. He really does, truly, make all things new. He's already doing it. He's already begun it. And he will not give up on you, and he will not give up on me. He will not let up on any of us. Not ever. Jesus is the true Israel. And we have been grafted into him, this shoot and this root of Jesse. And the life and the fruit of Jesus lives in us, breathes in us, flows in us. And this gives us peace that passes all understanding now. This gives us a power now. This gives us comfort of God's presence now. The prophet tells us that the nations will rally to him, that he is the desire of the nations. May each of us be a sign that points to the shoot and the root of Jesse, of how he has made us new. He's already started it. And that he will make everything new one day. Let us pray. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Lord God, Heavenly King, we give you thanks and praise for the shoot and the root of Jesse, the Messiah, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has begun a new work in each of us and who is committed to us, and he will complete that which he has begun. He is faithful and he is true. He will make all things new, and we will reign with this one forever and ever, because apart from him, there is no life. So, Father, we pray that in the power of your Holy Spirit, we may feel your presence in our lives. We may feel you chopping down the things in our lives that need to be chopped down. That we can know intimately the new life that you're bringing forth within us. In this season of Advent, let us keep our focus on you and what you're doing in the world. and the promises to be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.